إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 16th session from the book Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya, yani the character and morals of the Prophets alayhi wa sallam, as a model, an example to be followed by Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan hafidhahullah. May Allah protect and preserve him. This evening, we're going to look at, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the 18th and 19th characteristics that the Shaykh hafidhahullah has mentioned from the characteristics, yani, of the Prophets and Messengers alayhimus salam. Before we look at them, we want to, yani, return to a few of the topics that we discussed last week. The questions in the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 15. The first question being discussed, the 16th characteristic of the Prophets alayhimus salam, mentioned by the author hafidhahullah. The 16th characteristic. Now,
from the akhlaq, from the characteristics of the Prophets on them be the peace and prayers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they did not rejoice when the punishment befell the disobedient.
Before that. The one before that. 17. Naam. Who do you mean? Tahammuluhum alayhim as-salam adhiyata aqwamihim. Meaning?
The endurance of the harm and the pain from their people.
Enduring the pain and the harm of their people. Bearing patiently the harm that came to them from their people for the sake of Allah. Yani, for the sake of Allah. They were patient in bearing and enduring that which came to them from their people. And this is, yani, from the great characteristics of the Prophets and Messengers that actually requires a person to have strong iman and certainty in order to what? To bear the harm of the people now in the hope that it will be a means to some good for which a person, and he will be rewarded with Allah in the next life. Question number 2. Mention 3 examples of the evil characteristics attributed falsely to the Prophets alayhi salam by their people. 3. Any, or at least one anyway. Naam. Fadl. 1.
Qalu annahum sufaha.
Qalu annahum sufaha. Meaning?
That they are from the foolish.
From the foolish. Foolish people. Naam. Musa.
From the poets.
Huh?
Poets.
Poets. They said that they are poets. Naam. Shu'ara. Poets. Yani that they're just reciting poetry like the poets. It sounds good, but it's no truth to it. It's no foundation in truth. Naam. Who mentioned the first one? Who mentioned the first one? You did? Naam. Abu Jamil. That they were junoon. Ahlul junoon. That they were crazy people. And other things that they said about them, such as what? Liars. Yani majnoon. Huh? Kahin meaning? Soothsayers. Naam. Huh? Shair, poets, he said. Naam. And they said a lot of things about him. A lot of things that are evil and that are all untrue. Can anybody mention one ayah from the Quran that mentions, yani, that we can use as a proof for this, of what they said? Naam, Ahmed? نعم. نعم.
قليل ما
تؤمنون. نعم. نعم. Will we leave our gods for a what? Shari' Majnun. A one who is a poet and he's also crazy. A mad poet. Nam. Any other ayat? Like this. Yani there are many ayats where they mention. Okay, that means that he's this is nothing but clear magic. I mean, he's sahir, he's a magician. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned فَذَكِّرْ فَمَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِكَاهِنْ وَلَا مَجْنُونَ أَمْ يَقُولُونَ شَاعِرٌ. And in this ayah they mention what? That you are neither a what? كَاهِنْ, soothsayer, nor مَجْنُون, nor a شَاعِر, poet. None of this. And there are a lot of ayahs like this. Now, question number 3. Describe the response or the posture of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in spite of the evil spoken by their people against them. In spite of the Naam. Abu Sa'id. They remain receptive to the people. Their chest, their heart was open to the people. They were welcoming to the people. In spite of what their people yani said about them and the way that they treated them. Naam. And also أكثر الناس تحملا. Most tolerant. Yani, they're most tolerant in bearing the harm that came to them from their people. They were receptive to them. Their hearts were open to them. Their chests were open to them. They were welcoming to their people. And also, they were patient, enduring, and tolerant with the harm that came from their people in spite of what they said to them and the way they treated them. Question number 4. What can the da'i, the caller invited to Islam, hope for by patiently bearing the harms heaped upon them by the ignorant whom they call? Yani, the person who is in the place of calling people to Allah and the people are abusing them with speech and action. What can they hope for? Ahmed. Hidayatuhum. Yani that they be guided. Naam.
They can also hope for the ajr from Allah subhanahu.
And the ajr. Al-ajr min Allah. Yani the one who's calling to Allah with all that they are bearing, enduring patiently from the people who they are calling, from the ignorant people who they are calling, they can hope for yani a reward from Allah for theirself and for the people, that the people be guided. Yani from your own perspective, from your side, you should be thinking that yes, Allah has encouraged us to do good to earn His reward. Naam. That's fair. That's correct. That a person should hope for the reward of Allah. Anticipate, expect, and hope for the reward of Allah. And at the same time, the goal, not the personal goal for the society, that the people are guided. That the people are guided. Discuss the 17th characteristic of the Prophets, alayhimus salam, mentioned by the author, hafidhahullah. Naam. We're going to come back to Ibrahim.
Right. That they did not rejoice at the punishment when it befell the disobedient.
They did not rejoice at the punishment when the punishment befell the disobedient, those who disobeyed, who rejected. Naam. They didn't rejoice at their punishment. Naam.
Also, the author stated that this rejoicement is not from the noble characteristics.
And this doing so is not from the noble characteristics that we expect from the people of Iman, the Prophets being the leaders and the best examples. That rejoicing at the punishment of the misfortune, the harm that befalls other people, this is not from the characteristics of nobility. Question number 6. Discuss the response of Salih or Shu'aib, alayhimus salam, at the time of the destruction of their people. What was their response? Naam. On this side. Yeah, Mustafa.
Oh my people, I have conveyed the message from my Lord and I have given you good advice.
Naam. And both Salih and Shu'aib, alayhi salam, both of them said to their people, they turned away from them, they said, I have conveyed the message or the messages of my Rabb. And I have given you good advice. I've conveyed the message. I've advised you to the best of my ability. Naam. Somebody want to add to that? Naam.
I'm going to say the
ayah. Fadda.
Fatawalla anhum. Fatawalla anhum. وقال يا قوم لقد أبلغتكم رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين.
Now, which one of these, which prophet is this?
Salih.
But, يعني I have conveyed the message of my Rabb, and I have advised you with good advice, ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين. But you don't like the good advisors. You are not pleased to accept the advice of those who want to advise you with good. If somebody tells you to do filth and corruption and wrong, you listen. But when somebody tells you good, you don't accept good advice. Naam. فَكَيْفَ أَسَى عَلَى قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ. So how can one grieve over disbelieving people? And who have disbelieved in the message, rejected the advice, why grieve over these people? Yani their case is closed. It's closed. Naam. Question number 7. Discuss what one should say. Discuss what one should say at the time of seeing someone afflicted with a calamity. And secondly, the benefit of saying so. What should one say at the time of seeing someone afflicted with a calamity? Naam. Abu Bakr. Meaning?
Meaning, all praise be to the one who saved me.
All praise be to the one who saved me. Naam.
From what
you afflicted with. Naam.
And he gave me a bounty over many of his creation.
And he gave me bounty, preference. Yani, he gave me preference, a better position over many of those whom he has created. Yani, the meaning is what? That a person should, when you see someone afflicted, instead of looking down on them, you should praise Allah in gratitude that He has saved you from what they afflicted with. Yani, rather than look down on those people and condemn them and belittle them, rather you should be praising Allah that He has saved you from that. And acknowledging that He has, yani, given you preference over many of those whom He has created. And what is the benefit of this now? Yani, the person saying this.
The narration of Abu Hurairah from Tirmidhi said, لَمْ يُسِبْهُ ذَلِكَ الْبَلَى.
Meaning?
He would not be harmed with that affliction.
He would not be harmed, he would not be afflicted with that affliction. The one who says this, inshallah, will be a protection for him from being afflicted with that. And you see a person afflicted with something, instead of condemning them and belittling them, praise Allah who has saved you from that. And who can save you from that. And can protect you from being afflicted with that. Naam. And the last question, memorize the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu related to what is said upon seeing someone afflicted. Naam. Abu Jumayl.
من رأى مبتلى فقال الحمد لله الذي عفاني مما ابتلاك به وفضلني على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا لم يصبه ذلك البلاء.
ذلك البلاء. طيب, somebody else, who else memorize it? نعم.
قال عليه الصلاة والسلام من رأى مبتلى فقال الحمد لله الذي عافاني مما ابتلاك به وفضلني على كثير مما خلق تفضيلا لم يصبه ذلك البلاء.
نعم. And the meaning of this is what? من رأى مبتلى. مبتلى. يعني whoever sees a person who has been afflicted with some type of calamity. Whoever sees such a person and then says الحمد لله الذي عفاني, and then says this, then that person would not be afflicted with this bala. And some of the narrations, it's reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, لم يصبه بذلك البلاء وكائنا ما كان, no matter what it is that person was afflicted to. And in some of the narrations said, what? يعني, as long as that person lives. And they would not be afflicted with this. And in some of the narrations, and I didn't mention this narration last week, when some of the narrations said, and the Prophet ﷺ said, inshallah. And if they would not be afflicted with this, inshallah. And remember, remind ourselves what? That everything is in accordance with the will of Allah. Now,
when you make this dua, mention your family as well. And make another dua. Allah has said to you and your family.
The general rule in dhikr and dua, yani, is that we should use the words that came, yani, tawqifan, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, exactly the way he has narrated it. However, some scholars say in certain cases it's possible, yani, to modify the word, yani, the singular to plural. In some cases it's permissible to do that. And Allah knows best, but probably what's best to do is to intend that. To use the words of the Prophet and intend that. Now, and Allah knows best. طيب, tonight our topic, or the first characteristic, yani the 18th characteristic that the Shaykh has mentioned of the Prophets and Messengers عليهم الصلاة والسلام is حرصهم عليهم السلام على البعد عن أسباب الجهالة. Yani their eagerness to distance themselves and be far removed. Al-bu'd. حرصهم على البعد. To distance themselves and to be far removed. عن أسباب الجهالة. Yani from the causes of ignorance, foolishness and stupidity. Yani the asbab al-jahala means those things. Yani the asbab means the causes or the reasons or the ways or the means that lead to something. Yani to distance themselves from the causes, the thing that cause ignorance. And this is very important because sometimes we ask for something but we don't utilize the means to achieve it. And we don't act on the things that enable you to achieve. We just ask Allah, give me this and give me that. And the person who asks for Jannah has to do the things that enable you to reach that position where Allah from His mercy and His favor would admit you into Jannah. A person who asks to be protected from the hellfire must do the things that protect you from, yani, doing those things, from falling into that position that caused you to be punished in the hellfire. So you have to do something. You have to do something. So these are the asbab, the reasons, the cause, the means, the ways that lead something, that lead to something. So the Shaykh, he says here that from the characteristics of the Prophets and Messengers is that they were the most eager and the most diligent in, of all people, in distancing themselves and being far removed from the causes of jahala. He mentions two examples here, the example of Nuh alayhi salam and the example of Musa alayhi salam. And the example of Nuh alayhi salam is the example of a mistake that he made and Allah censured him for doing so. And the example of Musa alayhi salam is the example of his people accusing him of acting, yani, with the behavior of the people of ignorance. And him seeking refuge in Allah from such, from that kind of behavior. That's the behavior of the people of ignorance. Yani Musa alayhi salam, he didn't do anything, but they accused him of the behavior of the people of ignorance. And he said, I seek refuge in Allah. And this is one of the ways to protect yourself from ignorance. This is one of the means of protecting yourself from ignorance. What? Seeking refuge in Allah. The first example is the example of Nuh alayhi salam. And the Shaykh, he mentions from Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 46th and 47th Ayah. Yani, dealing with what? The eagerness and the diligence of the Prophets and Messengers alayhi salam in distancing themselves and being far removed from the causes that lead to ignorance. The Shaykh, he says, لَمَّا سَعَلَ رَبَّهُ نَجَاتَ بْنِهِ لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْلَمْ حَالَهُ نَهَاهُ رَبُّهُ تَعَالَى. Yani when Nuh alayhi salam requested, سَأَلَ رَبَّهُ, yani he didn't ask him a question, he made a request from him, he asked him for something. Okay, سَأَلَ here doesn't mean asking a question, although it can mean asking a question. Here it means what? Making a request for something. He's asking. لَمَّا سَأَلَ رَبَّهُ, yani when Nuh alayhi salam requested from his Rabb, نجات ابنه, the saving of his son, yani from the punishment of the disbelieving people. And the Shaykh says here, he comments on this point here, saying what? لأنه لم يعلم حاله. Because he didn't, Nuh عليه السلام didn't know, yani what was the end condition of his son. He didn't know for sure that he was guaranteed to be destroyed with the people of disbelief. He didn't know that. Otherwise, had he known for sure that that was the case, no reason for him to ask for his son to be saved from that which Allah has already decided that he would not be saved from. But the Shaykh is, yani, clearing the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam from requesting something, knowing full well that what he was requesting was not proper. No, he didn't know. And the ayah before the ayah the Sheikh mentions is 11:46. But the ayah before that, he alludes to it when he says, when he asks his Rabb for the salvation of his son, is in the ayah before that, in 11:45, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَ نُوحًا رَبَّهُ, that Nuh called out to his Rabb, فَقَالَ رَبِّي إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي, indeed, O my Rabb, indeed, my son is from my family. Why is he saying he's from my family? Because Allah promised to save his family. So he said, إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي, my son is from my family. وَإِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقِّ, and your promise is true. Yani, what you promise, I don't doubt it, but I'm thinking, my son, he's from my family, he should be saved. Is it possible that he could be saved? وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ, and you are the most just and the best of those who judge. Yani, Nuh alayhi salam, he's asking, yani, like, is there a way? Is it possible that my son can be saved? Even though I know that your promise is true, and I'm thinking that he's included in that promise to save my family. But indeed, whatever it is, you are the best of judges. أنت أحكم الحاكمين. I don't doubt that you are the best of judges. Whatever you judge is just. That's a fact. This is the ayah that came before, the ayah that the Shaykh mentions. The Shaykh mentions, yani, when Nuh alayhi salam asked for his son to be saved, not knowing what his end final condition would be, his Lord prohibited him. Nahaw Rabbuhu Ta'ala, he prohibited him from doing so. قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. That, O Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to him and said, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ, he is not from your family. Meaning he is not from those that the promise of Allah is upon. The promise of Allah is from your family, from who? Those who believed. And his son was a disbeliever. So he's not included in that. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ, he is a deed that is not righteous. And the scholars of tafsir explained this in many different ways. From amongst them, they said that his actions were not the actions of the righteous, because he was a kafir. And some of them said that Nuh alayhi salam, making this dua, making this request from Allah, this was an action that was not proper. It wasn't befitting. This dua, asking for one who Allah had already decided to be saved, to be saved. But of course he asked, not really knowing what was the end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ, he's not from your family, إِنَّهُ عَمْلُ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ, he is an unrighteous deed. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, so don't request from me that which you have no knowledge of. And you don't know what is the essence, the core, the end of this matter. Don't ask for what you don't know. Yani, ask about what you don't know. Ask a question about what you don't know, but don't ask for something and you don't know what you're asking for. Don't get involved in something you don't want to get involved in. And you want to buy a house and you buy it and you may get a mortgage, you don't really know what you're getting into. No, first ask about it, and then when you know, then ask for that which is good for you. Don't ask for something you don't know what you're asking for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told يعني لا فلا تسألني ما ليس لك به علم إني أعذك أن تكون من الجاهلين, and I warn you, I يعني caution you, يعني from what, from being from amongst the جاهلين, يعني the people of ignorance, and the people who do things that are from the actions of the people of ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him here that I'm warning you, I'm cautioning you, I'm advising you with that which would save you from being amongst the jahileen. Don't ask about that which you don't have knowledge of. Don't ask for that which you don't have knowledge of. فَلَمَّا عَلِمَ نُوحُ بِنَهِي رَبِّهِ لَهُ, so when Nuh alayhi salam came to know that his Lord has prohibited him from asking for this, سَارَعَ إِلَىٰ الْبُعْدِ عَنْ أَسْبَابِ الْجَهَالَ, then he hastened to distance himself from those things which are the causes that lead one to ignorance. And he said, that is Nuh alayhi salam said, yani as mentioned in the following ayat 47, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ, O my Lord, إِنِّي, indeed, I seek refuge in you, that I ask you for that which I have no knowledge of. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and if you don't, yani, forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will be from the khasirin. Notice that in the ayah before this, يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى is saying to Nuh عليه السلام إني أعذك أن تكون من الجاهلين. I warn you, يعني I advise you with that which will save you from being amongst the جاهلين. And then Nuh عليه السلام says إن لا تغفر لي وترحمني أكون من الخاسرين. That if you don't have forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will be. He didn't say I will be from the جاهلين. He said I will be from the خاسرين. Because the جاهلين, the end result is that they are the خاسرين, the losers. Yani the people who are jahileen, the end result of that is that they become the khasireen, the losers. So Nuh alayhi salam, he says, what? Oh my Rabb, I seek refuge in you from asking you for that which I have no knowledge of. And if you do not forgive me, and you do not have mercy upon me, I will be of the losers. Anyway, yani in the tafsir there's some reference to the reason why Nuh alayhi salam thought perhaps that his son could be saved because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, carry with you, yani in the safina, two of each type, and ahlaka, and your family. Take your family in. So Nuh said, Inna abni min ahli, he's my son is from my family, so he should, and it's possible maybe he could be saved. Possible that he could be saved. But the meaning of your family means those who believe from amongst them. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah says that perhaps Nuh alayhi salam, yani his compassion for his son, yani caused him to try to reach out to save him, yani even though he was a disbeliever. And that Allah has promised to save his family. So perhaps he thought that this family, that this promise was general, including all of his family, those who believed and those who didn't believe. For that reason, he supplicated and asked his Rabb with this dua. Even though, in the end of it all, he accepted and surrendered that, yani, the affair is in the hands of Allah, and Allah, yani, his wisdom is, yani, is perfect. Here Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنُّهُ عَمَلُ غَيْرُ صَالِي, that he is not from your family, he is an unrighteous deed. He said, هذا الدعاء, the dua of Nuh, yani, O Allah, yani, my son is from my family, and your promise is true, yani, that my family will be saved, and you are the best of those who judge. He said that here, this dua, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di said, this dua, which Nuh supplicated with, for the saving of a kafir, yani who didn't believe in Allah nor his messenger. This is the amal ghayr salih. Yani this supplication, asking for a kafir who didn't believe in Allah and who didn't believe in his messenger, is amal salih. And some of the other scholars said, who amal ghayr salih means his son himself. Yani he was doing the deeds that are not the deeds of righteousness, the deeds of the kuffar. So don't ask me about that which you have no knowledge of. The Shaykh, he said, it means, don't ask me about that which you don't have knowledge of its end. What it will lead to in the end. Whether it will lead to that which is good or other than good. Don't ask for something you don't know what is the end result of it. Will this bring good to you or other than good? Naam. Here the Shaykh says, in the end, yani Nuh alayhi salam, he says, I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from asking you that, asking for that which I have no knowledge of, and if you don't forgive me and have mercy on me, I will be of the khasirin, the losers. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, so it is by maghfirah and rahmah, forgiveness and mercy, that an abd is saved from being amongst the losers. How is the abd saved from being amongst the losers? It is by the maghfirah of Allah and His rahmah. إِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُنْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. If you don't forgive me and have mercy on me, I will be of the losers. The Shaykh is saying, it is by the maghfirah of Allah and the rahmah of Allah that the abd is saved from being amongst the losers. And this also indicates that Nuh alayhi salam, he didn't have knowledge of this matter, yani that his questioning, requesting his Rabb to save his son was haram. He didn't know that it was haram. He didn't know that it was included in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another place, لَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ. Don't speak to me about those who have, yani, did zulm, yani, shirk, kufr. For indeed, these will all be drowned. Don't speak to me about them. He didn't understand that it meant that. Rather, he thought that it could go either way, and that's why he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, perhaps to save his son. Yani, the tafsir concerning this is, yani, indeed of great benefit. Yani, for the sake of time, yani, we'll like suffice with this. Keeping in mind what the most important thing here is, that from the causes of a person being considered amongst the ignorant, and the ignorant are those whose end, yani, destination is to be the losers. From the causes of it is that a person ask, request, engage in something that they don't know what will be the end result of it. Person should be aware of this. Ask a lot of questions. Somebody sent me today an email. He said, this is the latest claims from the La Riba. I don't know, some company. I think that's the name of it. Yeah. Huh? That's the name of it? La Riba? Claiming that they don't engage in riba. I guess buying houses and whatever, right? I didn't have a chance to read it, but he said this is their latest claim. And I believe that's what it is, a claim. They claim that it's Sharia compliant and Allah knows best. After this, the Shaykh mentions the second example, the example of Musa alayhi salam, yani, the saying of his people, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا, do you take us, yani, as a joke to make mockery and ridicule us? And Musa responded to them saying, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, I seek refuge in Allah that I will be from amongst the ignorant ones. I seek refuge in Allah from being amongst the ignorant ones. And this, the Shaykh, he says, this is when Musa alayhi salam had commanded his people to sacrifice the cow. And yani, in some of the tafsirs they say this was because they had came to him about a person who was murdered, and they were asking him to help them to know, you know, about this person who was murdered and who murdered them. And he tells them, slaughter a cow. And they're saying, like, what's this got to do with what we're asking you about? We're asking you about somebody who murdered somebody, who murdered them and how they got murdered, and you tell us slaughter a cow. They said, are you making mockery of us? Are you joking with us? Are you acting foolish with us? And then Musa alayhi salam said to them, I seek refuge in Allah that I will be from the jahileen. Yani, doing this istihza, making mockery, ridiculing, making fun of people, this is from the characteristics of the ignorant people. And Musa had said to his people, when they came to him, he said, Allah has commanded you, when they came to ask him about this dead person who was murdered, he said, Allah has commanded you to sacrifice a cow. And they said, are you just playing games with us? Are you making mockery of us? Are you ridiculing us? And he said, I seek refuge in Allah from being amongst, yani, the ignorant. Here, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says, after Musa told them that Allah has commanded you to sacrifice the cow, and they said, we are asking you about a person who was killed and who killed him, and then you tell us to sacrifice a cow, are you just ridiculing us? Then Musa alayhi salam, he said this, yani, meaning that him seeking refuge in Allah from being amongst the ignorant, it means I'm seeking refuge in Allah from doing this kind of act, from acting like this behavior of ridiculing people, making fun of people, making mockery of people. Because indeed, yani, al-istihza, the Shaykh says, yani, ridiculing other people, belittling other people, making fun of other people, this is indeed ignorance. And in seeking refuge from Allah from such behavior is a means of distancing yourself from those things that lead to ignorance. Yani, distancing yourself from ignorance will not, yani, occur except that a person what? Yani, utilizes the means to distance yourself from ignorance. A person wants to be distanced from ignorance, they have to utilize the means, the things that enable you to remove yourself from ignorance. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, when Musa alayhi salam said, I seek refuge in Allah from being amongst the ignorant, Indeed, the jahil, an ignorant person, is the one who speaks with speech that contains no benefit. And he's making fun of people, making mockery of people. There's no benefit in this speech. هُوَ الَّذِي يَسْتَحْزِي بِالنَّاسِ. He is the one who ridicules other people. This is jahil. This is a jahil person who speaks with speech that has no benefit. He is the one who ridicules other people. As far as the intelligent person, he views that this is from the most despicable defects of a person, that they ridicule the deen or the aql. Yani, that they ridicule matters related to deen or the intelligent, the intellect of the other people, to ridicule other people. This is a great defect, to ridicule other people. For indeed, ridiculing other people, another person who is just a human being, just like you, even if you are better than them in some way, actually, the one who sees himself as being better than another one in some way, rather than ridiculing them, what they are required to do is to thank their Rabb and to have mercy upon the people. Yani, the one who sees himself being better than somebody, less than him, he doesn't make mockery of them, the intelligent person. Rather, he sees that what is required from him due to the favor or the preference that Allah has given to him is a shukra li rabbihi wa rahma li ibadihi. That he is thankful and grateful to Allah and he is merciful to the people. And the one who sees somebody that he thinks is less than him, this should be a means for him to thank Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, when you see a person afflicted, say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani min mabtalaka bi. Yani, because you are recognizing what? That Allah is the one to be praised and to be thanked for, yani, putting me in a better position than someone else. Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di. Yani, that what is required from the person who considers himself to be better, in a better position than somebody else, is gratitude to his Rabb and rahmah, mercy, to the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Shaykh mentions briefly, in summary form, the 19th characteristic of the Prophet عليهم الصلاة والسلام, حرصهم عليهم السلام على التزود من العلم. Yani, their eagerness and diligence in seeking an increase of knowledge. Yani, they were eager in seeking an increase in their knowledge. The knowledge that they had, they wanted to increase. And let us remind ourselves here that in the beginning of this topic, in the beginning of this book, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom has made some people to be preferable over others. And the greatest, the real preference of anyone over another one is in what? First, Iman. Iman. And the people of Iman, some of them excel others by what? By knowledge. By knowledge. So the greatest of the people of Iman are the scholars, the people who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people who have the greatest knowledge of Allah are the prophets and messengers. The people have the greatest knowledge of Allah. Amongst, like, scholars have knowledge over the other people, and the prophets have knowledge greater than the rest of them. They have the greatest knowledge. And therefore, the best of people, the most preferred of people, the most excellent, the highest level of excellence of people is the prophets and messengers. And this is why, yani, the character and manners and behavior of the prophets and messengers should be an example for us, because they are the best of humanity. And here the Shaykh is saying in the end, yani, next to the last characteristic of the prophets and messengers, is that they were what? Diligent, eager, always striving for an increase in knowledge. They were not satisfied with some knowledge, rather they always wanted to increase their knowledge. And this is an example for us. Yani, whoever from amongst us, those from amongst us who have a lot of knowledge, yani, they shouldn't be content that they have more knowledge than the rest of us. That somebody here, some of these brothers have more knowledge than the rest of us, and they became content with that. Rather, they should always be seeking an increase in knowledge. But of course, keeping in mind what? That the increase in knowledge has to be beneficial knowledge, and it has to be knowledge that is acted upon. That is acted upon. So the Shaykh, he mentions this characteristic, that from the characteristics of the Prophet and the Messenger عليه السلام, أنهم أحرص الناس على التزود من العلم, that they are the most diligent and eager of the people in seeking an increase in their knowledge. And the Shaykh mentions three points here, and this is the topic is very brief. The first point that the Shaykh mentions is وَلِذَا رَحْلَ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِلَى خَضْرِ لِيَزْدَادَ مِنْهُ عِلْمًا. This is the first point. Yani, due to this fact that the prophets and messengers are the most eager and diligent and seeking an increase in knowledge, it was for this reason that Musa alayhi salam traveled to Khadr. For what? In order to get an increase in knowledge, to seek knowledge. This story is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, from the 60th ayah to the 82nd ayah. And whoever wants to read this story in detail, you can read the hadith, and it is narrated by Al-Bukhari. Some of the narrations are from Ibn Abbas, and some of them are from others, rahimahullah, which, yani, the translator of the Noble Quran, Dr. Muhsin Khan, he mentions in the footnotes this story from Bukhari, the story of Musa alayhi salam traveling in search of knowledge. This story, yani, all of us have read it before, we're all familiar with it. Yani, the core of the story is what? That Musa alayhi salam one day stood up before the Bani Israel to give a speech, or he gave a speech, and somebody asked him, is there anyone in the earth more knowledgeable than you? Or who's the most knowledgeable person in the earth? And he said, I am. And Allah reprimanded him and told him, no, there's one of my servants who's more knowledgeable than you, ya Musa. Okay, so what about the people? What about us? When we get knowledge and we think that we know a lot, okay, be careful. Because there's always somebody who knows more than you. Maybe the person sitting next to you quietly is not talking a lot, but they know a lot. Musa said, I am. Really, he's a prophet of Allah, so who could be more knowledgeable than him? Well, Allah told him, there's another one of my servants who is more knowledgeable than you. Musa said, well, where's he at? I want to go to him, wherever he's at. I want to get this knowledge that he got. Now, Allah told him, go and like this, and you'll find him where the two yani seas meet, or where the place where the fish is, where you lose the fish, then this is where you will meet him at this point. And we know the story that he traveled, and he searched, and he finally met up with him, and he, with the details of the story, right? And when he met him, he told him, yani, well, first he greeted him, and Khidr said to him, is there a greeting like this in your land? Yani, what kind of greeting is this that you are coming with? This, we didn't hear the people saying nothing like this. And then, yani, he said, I'm Musa. And he said, you're Musa from Bani Israel? Yani, Khidr, he knew about Musa. He knew that there was a Musa from that was amongst the Bani Israel. And he told him, he's him. And then he said, I came to you, I want to seek knowledge from you. And he said, you won't be able to bear, you know, going out with me, because he has some knowledge that Musa don't have about, he can't bear it. Musa has some knowledge that he doesn't know. Anyway, they made an agreement to go out, and he had three incidents. One, the first of them was what? In the ship, he made a hole in the ship so that what? So that the king who was taking the people's boats wouldn't take those people's boats. The second one, he killed a boy. Yani, Musa thought it was an innocent little boy, and he killed him because what? Because he was a kafir, and he was going to make hardship on his parents, who were righteous people, so he killed him so that Allah would replace him with a better child for them. And the third one was, the wall. When they went to these people and asked them to host them, to give them some food, and they refused to give them, and then he found this wall about to crumble, and he waved his hand in front of it and made the wall stand up. And he said, because what? Because underneath it was a treasure that belonged to these two orphan boys, and so that they could grow up and get their treasure, because their father was a righteous man. This is an important point that we don't have time to discuss in detail, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy upon those boys because of what? Because their father was a righteous man. So some of us, we worried about our children, and we don't have control over them. But maybe Allah will have mercy upon them if the parent is righteous. Maybe Allah will have mercy upon your children. Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen to your children. You don't have no control of them. You do the best you can. And when they grow up, some of them do whatever they want to do after that. But if you're righteous, obedient to Allah, maybe Allah will have mercy upon your children because of you. Think about that. Sometimes Allah has mercy on the parent because of the child. Right? Three things that person dies, the deeds are cut off except three, and one of them is what? A righteous child that prays for them. Parent being saved by their child. And here's the child being saved by their parent. It works both ways. Anyway, this story is a long story, and Yani it's lengthy, it contains a lot of points, and we don't have time to go into detail, but please go back to the Quran, Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 60 to 82. Read it again, and to refresh your memory on it. If you haven't already read it today, today is Yawmul Jumu'ah, right? Surah Al-Kahf is from the Sunnah. The second point that the Shaykh makes is, وَأَمَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى نَبِيَّهُ مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَنْ يَسْأَلَهُ الزِّيَادَةَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. And the second point the Shaykh makes is that Allah has commanded His Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام to ask him for an increase in knowledge. To ask him for an increase in knowledge. In the words, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. There's nobody sitting here who can't memorize this supplication. Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to supplicate with this, how much more so are we in need of it? Huh? He ordered him, وَقُلْ. That's the command, فِي الْعَمْرِ, right? وَالْعَمْرِ يَقْتَدِي الْوُجُوبِ. That means that it's obligatory to supplicate with this supplication. How often do we supplicate with this supplication? I don't want you to raise your hands now. I'm just saying. It's a question that we should ask ourselves. How often are we supplicating with this supplication? رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. That's easy. Now, this is mentioned in Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 114th ayah. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he mentions the ayah before this, or yani the part of the ayah before this where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, don't hasten with the Quran before, yani when the revelation is being delivered to you by Jibril, don't hasten in the recitation of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was anxious to repeat whatever Jibril had yani revealed to him. When Allah revealed certain ayahs in the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would hasten to repeat them so that he would retain them, so that he wouldn't forget them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, don't hasten, but say, Rabbi zidni ilma. Oh Allah, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Yani, increase me in knowledge from you. Not any kind of knowledge. Yani, Hafiz ibn Kathir says the meaning of this, Rabbi zidni ilma, say, zidni minka ilma. Yani, knowledge from you. That means that not all knowledge is the same. Mathematics and science and engineering and medicine, all of that is good. Carpentry, plumbing, and all of that is good. Yani tijara and trade and all of that is good. But here he's talking about what? Knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. Knowledge of the deen of Allah. This is the most important knowledge. This is the knowledge that you can't do without. The other knowledge you might can live without. Yes, somebody has to be a doctor, somebody has to be an engineer, somebody has to be this, that, and the other. That's true. But everybody has to worship Allah. Whoever doesn't worship Allah, doesn't matter what anybody else knows. It's not going to do you any good. So he said, yani the meaning of this is, O Allah, increase me with knowledge from you. And also, Ibn Kathir says, Ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, he said, لم يزل صلى الله عليه وسلم في زيادة من علم حتى توفاه الله عز وجل. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم continued to increase in knowledge until Allah took his soul. He continued to increase in knowledge. And I just want to mention one more thing from Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. Yani he mentions the hadith from Ibn Majah, and the hadith is sahih, and yani where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani wa 'allimni ma yanfa'uni wa zidni 'ilma." Yani this is close to the supplication that came in the Quran, "Rabbi zidni 'ilma." Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma anfa'ni bima 'allamtani." Oh Allah, benefit me with that which you have taught me. Yani make that which you have taught me to be a benefit to me. وَعَلِّمْنِي مَا يَنْفَعْنِي and teach me that which will benefit me. وَزِدْنِي عِلْمًا and increase me in knowledge, to the end of the hadith. But this part of it is sahih. Yani, and some of the scholars said concerning this supplication of great importance that the Prophet ﷺ, before asking Allah to give me knowledge that benefits me, first he asks Allah to benefit me with the knowledge that you have given me. Yani you would think that you would say, give me increase in knowledge and then benefit me from the knowledge. But the Prophet said, no. Benefit me from the knowledge that you have taught me. And then after that he said, and yani, teach me knowledge that will be beneficial. And the reason for this is because the purpose of knowledge and the purpose of seeking more knowledge is to benefit from it, to act upon it. So the first thing, the objective is first. Let me benefit from what you have taught me. And then after that, and teach me that which will benefit me and give me an increase in knowledge. Some of the scholars of Tafsir said, the meaning of this supplication, Rabbi Zidni Ilma, it means, Bil Qur'an. Yani increase me in knowledge of the Qur'an. So as long as the Qur'an continued, anything, as long as anything from the Qur'an continued to be sent down upon him, Zad bihi ilmahu. It increased him in his knowledge. Yani knowledge of the Qur'an. And some of them said, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ask him for an increase in knowledge with this saying, وَقُلْ, and I order you to say, رَبِّي زِنِ عِلْمَ, and in this is an indication, بِأَنَّهُ دَائِمًا فِي حَاجَةٍ إِلَى الْمَزِيدِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always, دائِمًا, in need of an increase of knowledge. But some of us, we are not in need. We need some knowledge sometimes, but we don't, sometimes we became lazy and we stopped seeking knowledge. But the Prophet ﷺ was always, constantly in need of an increase in knowledge. Then what about us? We're not always in need of increase in knowledge. And the proof of it is that we think that is because we don't always seek to increase knowledge. We're not trying to learn. We're not trying to learn. Anyway, I'm going to close this and then just mention the last statement of the Sheikh. We didn't reach the hour yet, so we still have a few minutes. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, in his tafsir of this ayah, he says something very beautiful, and inshallah, this will be a benefit for us. Yani, it will be a benefit for us as we close with the last point that the Shaykh makes. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, says, when the Prophet ﷺ was hastening to recite the revelation as it came to him, he was in a hurry to recite it. This indicates, تَدُلُّ عَلَى مَحَبَّتِهِ التَّامَ لِلْعِلْمِ وَحِرْصِهِ عَلَيْهِ. It indicates what? His complete and perfect love for knowledge and his eagerness for the knowledge. Yani the fact when the Jibreel came to alayhi salam was giving him the ayat, he's hastening to repeat them because he's what? He loves the knowledge. He has a perfect love for knowledge and he has a desire, yani, for an increase in it. This is what the Shaykh said this indicates. And for that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to request an increase in knowledge. So Allah saw that he's eager for the knowledge, so he told him, ask for it. Supplicate. Yani, if you're really serious about seeking knowledge, then from the greatest means of seeking knowledge is to asking Allah for knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma. The person has to be sincere. They might ask for that which, they might get what they ask for, and then, Al-Quran hujjatun laka alayka. Laka aw alayka. The Quran is a proof for you or against you. And you might ask for knowledge, and maybe Allah will give it to you. If you don't act on it, it will be a proof against you. Be careful. And be sincere in asking Allah for knowledge, but then you gotta act on it. The Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, indeed, so Allah ordered him to ask for an increase of knowledge. فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمُ خَيْرٌ. For indeed, knowledge is khayr. Knowledge is khayr, pure good. Knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَثْرَةُ الْخَيْرِ مَتْلُوبَ. And a lot of this khayr of knowledge is required, is demanded, is encouraged, that you get ask for a lot of it. وَهِيَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And this knowledge is from Allah. It's from Allah. The knowledge that we are talking about. وَالطَّرِيقَ إِلَيْهَا. And here, this is the point right here, right? وَالطَّرِيقَ إِلَيْهَا. The way or the road to this knowledge and this كَثْرَةُ الْخَيْرِ is number one, al-ijtihad. Striving and struggling. Work. You don't get knowledge without work. You don't get knowledge going on vacation, taking a rest and a break here and there. Requires ijtihad. Number two, الشوق للعلم. Having what? An earnest desire, a longing for the knowledge. In your heart, there has to be a longing for it. You have to have a real desire for it. Some people are eager in seeking knowledge. You can tell that they're really going after it. They have a desire. وَسُؤَالُ اللَّهِ. And asking Allah for the knowledge. Number three, having a earnest desire for the knowledge, a longing for it, and then asking Allah for knowledge. وَالْإِسْتِعَانَ بِهِ. And seeking help and assistance in Allah in getting that knowledge. وَالْإِفْتِقَارِ إِلَيْهِ. And realizing, recognizing your need for Allah. فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ. At all times. knowledge is khair, and a lot of knowledge is yani what we should be seeking. And the knowledge is from Allah, and the way to get the knowledge is by ijtihad, having a longing and a desire for the knowledge, asking Allah for the knowledge, seeking help from Allah in getting that knowledge, and recognizing, realizing that you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah wa la ta'jiz. Ihris, be eager and diligent in seeking that which benefits you. And what is greater benefit than the knowledge that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah, and seek help from Allah. And you want to get something good, you have to seek help from Allah. You have to be going after it. You have to work hard, but you also have to have a longing for it, an earnest desire for it. You have to ask Allah's help, yani, and you have to realize that you're in need of Allah all the time. From this ayat, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi says, from this ayat we derive some things. Al-adab fi talaqi al-ilm. Yani, what are the manners in seeking, receiving knowledge? When al-mustami'a lil-ilm yanbagi lahu an yata'anna wa yasbir hatta yafrug al-mumli والمعلم من كلامه المتصل ببعضه ببعض. And that the one who is listening, receiving the knowledge, it is proper and befitting that that person take it easy, be patient until the one who is dictating the knowledge that you are writing, or the one who is teaching the knowledge that you are receiving, until they finish their speech, because some of it is connected to other parts of it. Let them finish before you jump up. فإذا فرغ منه سأل. So when they finish, then you may ask. وَإِنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ السُّؤَالِ يعني if the person has a question. وَلَا يُبَادِرْ بِالسُّؤَالِ. And don't be hasty in asking questions. وَقَطَى كَلَامَ الْمُلْقِي الْعِلْمِ. And then you will cut off the one who is delivering the knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ سَبَبُ الْحِرْمَانِ. Because this cutting off the one who is speaking, asking a question before they finish speaking, this is one of the causes of a person being denied or deprived of knowledge. And likewise, the one who is al-mas'ul, who is being asked, yani the one who the question is coming to, yanbaghi lahu an yastamli as-su'al, su'al as-sa'il wa ya'rif al-maqsood minhu qabla al-jawab. Yani that the person who is being asked must what? Receive, listen carefully to the question of the questioner, and understand or come to know what do they intend by the question before they answer it. Don't be hasty in asking the question to you. Listen carefully to the questioner and understand what they are asking before you yani respond. Because this yani will be a means to answering correctly. Yani that you listen to the questioner, understand their question, what they intend by their question before you respond. The last point that the Shaykh makes, and we close with this, is وَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يَسْأَلْ رَبَّهُ الْعِلْمَ النَّافِيَ. And this is the end of this chapter, yani, or this characteristic, that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to ask Allah for beneficial knowledge. He used to ask Allah for beneficial knowledge. And this is the final point that the Shaykh makes concerning this matter. The eagerness of the Prophets for an increase in knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ used to ask Allah for beneficial knowledge. And this is what we should be seeking, beneficial knowledge. And I will add that the Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge from knowledge that doesn't contain benefit. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, in some of the hadith, it's mentioned that he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiyan. Yani, Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge. In one of the hadith that we have discussed some time back, and the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafiyan wa what? Wa rizqan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbalan. Yani the first thing he asks for is beneficial knowledge, and then provision, sustenance that's wholesome, that's good, that's lawful, and then deeds that are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the first thing is what? Beneficial knowledge. Because your sustenance, you don't know what is good or not, what's halal and haram, wholesome and not, except with knowledge. And you don't know what deeds will be accepted by Allah except by knowledge. So knowledge is the starting point. person has to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for beneficial knowledge and seek refuge in Allah from knowledge that is of no benefit. In another hadith, the hadith is reported by Ibn Hibban and others, the Prophet said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'u. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'u. I seek refuge in you from knowledge that is of no benefit. To the end of that hadith, yani in which he mentioned what? The heart that doesn't have khashya of Allah, and the dua, the da'wah that is not answered. But the point here is what? Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge which contains no benefit. And Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions in Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada, yani this is the point that we close with, yani I'm just adding this point as a benefit for us, yani from the means to achieve knowledge. And he mentions the means to achieve knowledge and the benefit of knowledge and the opposite, yani the things that cause a person not to achieve knowledge and not to benefit from it. Yani, and you can just take the opposite from what we mentioned here, the means to achieve knowledge. He said first, husnu su'al. Yani that a person, what? Asking questions properly. Husnu su'al. Yani from the means of achieving knowledge, beneficial knowledge and benefiting from it, is husnu as-su'al. That you ask the question properly. Some people just ask the question without thinking it out. And then maybe the question doesn't come out right, you don't really get the answer that you're looking for. I was listening to a video of one of the sheikhs. He was a student of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. In fact, he's married to Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen's daughter. And the person was asking him a question about divorce. He said, I divorced my wife, and while she was in Iddah, I divorced her again. Does the second one count? And the sheikh said, but what did you mean by the second one? He said, I don't know. What do you mean? What did I mean? I didn't mean anything. He said, no, you had to mean something. What was your intent? When you pronounced divorce the second time, did you mean this is a new divorce? Or I'm just affirming that in fact I did divorce you the first time. Yani the sheikh, he didn't answer the question until he understand first, what are you really saying? He understand the question first before he tries to answer. Then the man said, no, I was meaning I'm divorcing you again. Okay, now that's a different answer than you saying, the woman is asking you, did you divorce me? You're saying, yeah, I divorced you. I'm not divorcing you a second time, I'm just affirming that I did divorce you. That's different than making a new divorce. And of course, making a second divorce while the iddah hasn't been finished is bid'ah. And some of the scholars say it doesn't count, but the majority of scholars say it does count. But the minority say it doesn't count. But in any case, the point is what, that I'm making here is what? Husnu su'al. The man didn't ask the question right, but the sheikh was patient enough to question him until he understood what the man is really asking for. The second point, he said what? Husnu fahm. Sound understanding. The second point in achieving beneficial knowledge and benefiting from it is understanding. Yani what you have heard in the answer to the question that you asked, understanding it properly. Some people take the answer, they didn't quite understand it, they ran away with something else. The second point is husnul insat wal istima. I'm sorry, I skipped the point. The first point is asking the question properly. The second point is making an effort to hear and to listen well. Yani, listen to the answer. Listen to the answer carefully. And then understand it is the third point. And the fourth point is hifz, memorizing the answer. And you get the answer and then you didn't memorize it and you lost it. Now you're in the same boat again. You're back where you started from. You asked the question, you got the answer, and then you didn't retain it. The fifth point is ta'lim, teaching. Yani spreading the knowledge. When you learn something, teach it. Spread it. I always say to brothers and to sisters also, but I mean usually we're talking with the brothers, right? If you learn something, teach it to people. You learn in Arabic, teach it to somebody. Teach it to your children, to your family, to your friend, to your neighbor, somebody. Because this is one of the ways of retaining knowledge, by teaching what you learn. And the last point, he said, is al-amal bihi. Yani, acting upon it. وَمُرَاعَةْ حُدُودِهِ, and observing its boundaries. Yani, the last point is what? Acting upon the knowledge. Asking the question properly, listening carefully, understanding the answer, memorizing the answer, teaching it to others, and then acting upon it and observing its boundaries. Meaning, the knowledge that you have received, yani stick within it, don't go outside of it. Yani you have learned something, utilize that knowledge, act upon it, sticking within the boundaries of what you have learned from it. Meaning that that knowledge may make you to know that this is the limits of something. And beyond that is yani not permissible. Like a man, he comes to know, this is not a good example. This is not a good example. But anyway, it's an example that came to my mind. Allahu musta'an. A man came to know that he can only have four wives, right? That's the limit. So observe the limits. Yani, maybe a person didn't know that. There was a guy walking around here. Mathna wa thulatha wa ruba'a. Ya Imam. What did they say about it? Over there, what's those people? Obaba? 2 and 3 and 4 means what? 9 wives. So he didn't know the boundaries. So when you learn something, right? That's what they said. Openly, publicly, not secretly. 9 wives. The point is what? When you learn something, the knowledge keeps you within certain bounds, that you don't go outside the bounds of Allah. That's why you need knowledge. Because people are doing things they're not supposed to do. They're transgressing the bounds. And the knowledge, yani, keeps you within the bounds of what Allah has set, the limits that Allah has set. So when you learn something, act upon it, but within the boundaries of what that knowledge has given you. And Allah knows best. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.